Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
To the end of the week. Happy Friday. Welcome to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for ending your week with me. Being able to talk Red Sox with you all week is my favorite thing, especially after a big win the night before. What's going on? I'm Lauren Campbell. I work for Nesson covering Boston sports. Been doing this now for 3+ years with Nesson and in this business as a whole for 6, born and raised in the Boston area, constantly covering baseball, hockey, all of your Boston sports needs. So once again, thank you for hanging out with me. I'm so excited to get to this show. We have so much to talk about. A little bit of Bobby Dalbec, a little bit of Chris Sale, Rafael Devers, and yes, even Matt Barnes, even though he did not do too well in Thursday's game. Like I said, we have a ton to get into, but first, this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and check out one of our Locked On rooms. All right, let's just get right into this because Thursday's 12-2 win over the Twins, it's certainly no win against the Rays or the Yankees, even the A's. But after Wednesday's loss, the Red Sox really needed to come out and make sure everything was working, that they were on the same page. And that's exactly what they got. You know, when Chris Sale starts, you're probably thinking he's going to be the star of the game, especially because this only was his third start since recovering from Tommy John surgery. And he's done so well in his last two starts. So you're probably thinking, oh, we're going to start with Chris Sale. But no, as much as I want to, we have to talk about Bobby Dalbec because just Wednesday, Alex Cora told us that Bobby Dalbec has been struggling at first base and that it's really been quote unquote a struggle with him. And obviously they brought in Travis Shaw. They claimed him off waivers. Kyle Schwarber is supposed to play first base. He's probably going to be doing that tonight. But at the end of the day, this was Bobby Dalbec's position to lose. He was out of the game Wednesday, and Thursday he looked like somebody who was out for revenge. He finished the night 3-for-4 with 3 runs, 7 RBI, and 2 home runs. His first home run broke open the scoring, got the Red Sox on the board, and he played first base really well too. I think that kind of got overshadowed in his big offensive night, and I understand that. I mean, the guy had a 2-home run night. You're not really going to be talking about his defense at first unless it was bad, so definitely a good thing. He just looked more confident. I don't know if he and Alex Cora had a conversation. I don't know if it's just Bobby Dalbec kind of getting out of his own head, knowing that he has things to work on and knowing that he has to work on them slowly. Maybe he got a full 8 hours of sleep. I don't know, but whatever he did worked, and it worked really, really well. And after his second home run, he received a curtain call at Fenway Park. I love the curtain call. I always love when the fans just get so rowdy and so loud and they're cheering for you and they want you to come out of the dugout, hold up your helmet, and just kind of take in that moment. And that's exactly what Bobby Dalbec did. He said after the game that it was an amazing moment. It's something you dream of as a kid, and he got to experience that. And I really hope that he uses this for momentum going forward and kind of be able to start a hot streak here because there aren't many games left. I feel like I've said this every single day this week, but it's crunch time. And it's go time for the Red Sox, and they really need everybody to give their best. And if Bobby Dalbec can continue with this momentum, that's certainly going to be beneficial going forward. Now, will he go 3-for-4 every night? Probably not. But, you know, if he can draw 4 walks in a night like Kyle Schwarber did on Thursday, that's still being beneficial to the team. The team needs to get men on base. And it also will mean that he stopped swinging at every single pitch that came his way. Like I said earlier, he looked really good at the plate. He was confident. He wasn't going after all these pitches. And Alex Cora really liked what he saw. How could he not? After the game, he told us, "He's been really good. Honestly, we're picking and choosing. We play him against lefties and certain righties, but he's doing a good job. One thing he's doing lately is pulling the ball. There were a lot of empty fly balls to left field. Forget the home runs. I was more happy with the second and third, infield in, and base hit up the middle. That's what we're looking for. Obviously, the homers are great, but that was a great at-bat, and he made a nice play at first base, all around, pretty solid. It was good to see." It was good to see indeed. especially because first base has been such a problem this season for the Red Sox. Dalbec has struggled at times. Christian Arroyo got hurt in his debut. But Dalbec needs to build this confidence. He needs to get these reps, especially after a night like Thursday. This is a perfect opportunity for him to go and build momentum. Now, Alex Cora did say after the game that Kyle Schwarber likely will play first on Friday. He originally was supposed to play first on Thursday, but he ended up being the DH because unfortunately Hunter Renfroe had to leave the team for a couple of days. He is on the bereavement list, so thoughts and prayers are with him and his family. It is unclear when he'll return, but that's obviously not important right now. So the infield will look a little different Friday. Of course, we won't know the lineup until a few hours before the game starts against the Indians. So there's still a chance Schwarber could DH. JD Martinez still plays in the outfield. But we will wait and see if they finagle Bobby Dahl back into the lineup or if he just gets a day off or if they let him try to continue this momentum. Bobby Dahlbeck obviously was great. He provided Chris Sale with some run support. And Chris Sale did everything he could to give his team the win on Thursday. He went 5 1/3 inning. That's his longest outing since returning from Tommy John. He gave up 2 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 walks. I'm sensing a theme here. But not 2 strikeouts. Don't worry. He struck out 8 batters. Sale looked incredible. His velocity was there. His command. And this was probably the closest to vintage Sale that we've seen since he returned. And that's bad news for opponents because this is only his 3rd start and he's just getting better and better. They're slowly starting to stretch him out. He did get into the 6th on Thursday, which was very encouraging. And his 5 fastest pitches per StatCast on Thursday were 98.2, 98.1, 98.1, 98, and 97 miles an hour. Holy smokes, Chris Sale is back. And when I say Chris Sale is back, he is back. He also threw an immaculate inning in the 3rd, so 9 pitches, 9 strikes, 3 strikeouts. And this wasn't the first time he did this. He's actually no stranger to throwing immaculate innings. This is the 3rd time Chris Sale has done this throughout his career, and he's also responsible for the last 2 immaculate innings thrown in MLB in 2018 and 2019. But that's not even the craziest thing. So Chris Sale joined some pretty elite company with that immaculate inning. He joined Sandy Koufax. He was the only other MLB pitcher to throw 3 immaculate innings. And when you have Sandy Koufax as your company, that's pretty darn good. But as good as Sale was, there were some mishaps. I mean, that's going to happen throughout probably the rest of the year. But he did give up a 2-run home run in the 5th, and he was mad. He was really mad about it. You could see it, and you could also see it on the radar gun because he responded with a 98-mile-an-hour fastball to the next batter. So again, this was very vintage Sale, and after the game, he was asked about it. And his response, this might have been more vintage Sale than what we saw on the mound. He said, "That's probably the most pissed off I've been on the baseball field in a while. That's just coming out of anger and frustration. I like to call those FU fastballs. I can't really say the word, but I got pissed and I got going. Today was probably the best my mechanics have been start to finish. I really felt like I was staying on top of the baseball. I really kind of found it out in the bullpen before the game. And that, mixed with a little bit of hate, honestly, really kind of just extended it and let it eat." Basically, he just warned the rest of his opponents for the rest of the year to watch out because Chris Sale is back. And this is everything the Red Sox need right now. It is really encouraging to see him get so high on the radar gun. Of course, it is a little nerve-wracking because he threw it out of anger, and we certainly don't want anybody getting hurt out of anger. Jason brought up Carson Smith earlier this week when he threw the glove out of frustration and ended up really costing him the rest of the season, his career, really. So we certainly don't want any of that, but to see Chris Sale channel that frustration, channel that anger, and use it for good, that's only bad news for his next opponents, and his next start just so happens to come against the Rays. So that will certainly be a big test for him, probably his biggest test since coming back, pitching against a first place team in the AL. So we'll see what he works on between now and then, if he comes out firing on all cylinders, if he throws another immaculate inning. There's certainly good things coming for Chris Sale, which means there's only bad things coming for the batters he's about to face. But we are not done talking about this game because aside from Chris Sale making history, Rafael Devers also put himself in the history books. We will talk about that in our 2nd segment. But first, I want to talk to you about Built Bar. I love Built Bar. It is a great pre-workout snack. It's a great snack for when you're heading out the door if you're in a hurry. But the best part about Built Bar is that it has so many delicious flavors. There's literally something for everyone. Right now, I'm on a cookies and cream kick. Jason mentioned he's on a raspberry kick. I can't wait to try the raspberry. And when you talk to Built Bar fans like me and Jason, they're definitely passionate about our favorites. They have flavors from coconut, mint brownie, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, something for everyone, I promise. And if you haven't tried all these flavors and you want to, you can get a mixed box where you'll get two of each of their 9 flavors. And not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they're also healthy. Their macros can essentially fit any diet plan that you're on. These macros are crazy. They're 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. So amazing flavors, they're all tasty, and they're all healthy. You cannot go wrong. And Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which is pretty neat. So order yours today. Get the raspberry, cookies and cream, whatever you want. And we have an offer for you, so go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Welcome back. So as I mentioned at the end of the first segment, Rafael Devers had himself a night, and I think it was a bit overshadowed just because of Bobby Dalbec's success, Chris Sale dominating once again on the mound. But Devers, he hit his 30th home run of the season, and that home run put his name in Red Sox history forever because he joined Ted Williams as the only other Red Sox player to have multiple 30 home run seasons before turning 25. Much like Chris Sale being in company with Sandy Koufax, Rafael Devers is in some pretty elite company with Ted Williams. And it's amazing to know how much the game has evolved and how much the game has changed since Ted Williams played, and to know that Rafael Devers is still in company with him is amazing. I know I have been hard on him at times for his defense at third, but there's no denying his bat. There's no denying his offensive power, and that's a bat you need in the lineup. He's a difference maker. He comes up clutch, and he has struggled a bit, but I feel like the team as a whole just really broke out Thursday. And Alex Cora really liked what he saw from Devers. He had a lot of praise for him after the game. He told us, "For all his struggles the last 3 weeks, I see a guy that is actually maturing as a hitter, controlling the strike zone, understanding what's going on around him, and on the field and with the scoreboard. He'll go through stretches that he's very aggressive, he'll get upset, he'll slam his helmet, but that's the beauty of Rafi." Sometimes I forget that Devers is only 24. I feel like he's been in the league forever, and that he's been around for so long. And, you know, people do refer to him as a veteran on this Red Sox team. And when you hear the other veterans like JD Martinez and Xander Bogaerts, you know, they're certainly not 24, but we're watching history getting made right in front of our eyes. And I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. Rafael Devers is just incredible. He brings so much to this Red Sox team, not just with his bat, but with his energy, his big old smile. He's always laughing. And you know when he's mad, he's not afraid to wear his heart on his sleeve. Like Alex Cora said, sometimes you'll see him slam his helmet, get really frustrated with himself, but he's growing up in front of our eyes. And on top of Rafael Devers joining Ted Williams as the only Red Sox player with multiple 30 home run seasons before turning 25, he also joined Nomar Garcia-Para. He also was able to complete that feat before turning 25, so really good company all around. Rafael Devers still has so much to accomplish, which I think is really scary. I don't think he's reached his potential. I think he has so much more to give, both offensively and defensively. On defense is a totally different story. We're not going to talk about his defense today because Thursday showed how valuable he is to this team and just how strong his bat is and how quickly he can turn things around and just how much energy and how well liked he is with this team. So knowing that he can only get better from here is a scary thought. And much like Chris Sale, it's kind of like a warning to opponents. So just thinking that Devers could get better and Chris Sale can get better, I mean, this team can be really, really dangerous. Maybe they won't reach their full potential this year, but next year, I mean, there's a lot to be happy about for the future. There's a lot of optimism looking forward. So kudos to Rafael Devers. That's an incredible accomplishment. I can't wait to see what other history he makes. I can't wait to see what happens in his age 25 season. I can't wait to see what other company he joins, because if he's joining Ted Williams now, I feel like in 20 years from now, I'm going to be telling my kids that I got to watch Rafael Devers play. I got to watch him put himself in history with Ted Williams and Nomar Garcia-Para. So a lot to look forward to, absolutely. But I would be remiss if I did not talk about the not so good in this game, and it was not that much, which is a good sign, especially after Wednesday. But Matt Barnes did enter the game in the ninth, and Alex Cora said Wednesday that He wasn't really sure what they were going to do with Barnes when it came to his next appearance, if it was going to be a save or if it was going to be a low leverage situation. And that's exactly what it was on Thursday. The Red Sox were up 12-2. And man, if Matt Barnes blew that, I probably wouldn't be able to do a podcast for a couple days. I know that's a little dramatic, but that probably would have put a fork in the Red Sox season. But thankfully, that did not happen. We don't need to think about that. But Matt Barnes still struggled despite it being a low leverage situation. He did give up a walk. At the end of the day, he did get out of the inning. It was not pretty by any means. He did get two strikeouts, so you have to take the good with the bad here. But he certainly did not look like the Matt Barnes we knew. And again, you don't fix somebody overnight, especially if it's a mechanics issue, especially if it's a confidence issue. But this is how you do it. You get him into games when you have a generous lead, where there's not so much riding on the line, where there's not a lot of responsibility, and you allow him to get out of jams, you allow him to give up a couple walks, maybe a couple of hits, and you let him get out of it. And that's what the Red Sox did Thursday. Obviously, it's unclear if he will pitch Friday, but it was good to see him go back out there at the end of the day. It was good to see him not get too much time off. I don't want him being in his own head and just screwing with his confidence even more during this time. So nice to get him out there, get that day off, kind of clear his head. Get him out there with the Red Sox up 10 runs and just let him do his thing. I'm definitely feeling indifferent about Matt Barnes and his outing because I wasn't discouraged, but I wasn't encouraged. Of course, it's discouraging whenever you give up a walk, but it was only one. But that sometimes that's all it takes, right? And that can be the difference in a game. Fortunately, it was not the case for Thursday, but it certainly will be interesting over the next 14 games, especially because the Red Sox play the Indians and the Rays, so how they utilize Matt Barnes will certainly worth be keeping an eye on. But we will see what happens. Let's just hope that the Red Sox can carry this momentum over into Friday's series opener against the Indians and continue to build that win total, continue to build momentum going into the last 6 weeks of the season here. Coming up in segment three, I will give you my unpopular opinion. I am bringing it back after a day off, as well as my positive takeaway. Because even though the show has been mostly positive, we love ending it on a positive note, kick off the weekend on a high note. So we will talk all of that after I tell you about betonline.ag, because yes, it is that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL Mega Contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest, open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo, which is make a bet on Thursday, September 9th, which is the season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. But if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code LOCKEDON. Welcome back. So as I always do in segment three, I will give you my own popular opinion before ending the show on a positive note. And for my popular opinion, I'm honestly not sure if it's even that unpopular. I don't think Kyle Schwarber should play first base. He's done really well in the DH spot, and I know that JD Martinez has been playing a lot of outfield, and he has struggled at the plate a little bit. I don't know if the two are correlated at all, but I know that Schwarber is very eager to start playing first base. Cora is very excited for it too, but of course I'm worried about a potential injury. You did bring in Travis Shaw as well, so there are options, but I'm also a don't knock it till you try it kind of person, so I don't want to be a hypocrite. And if it works, it works. I'll gladly eat my words, but I certainly will be a little, when I finally see Schwarber at first base for the Red Sox. But ending on a positive note, I mentioned on Thursday's show a story regarding Chris Sale learning how to throw right-handed during his Tommy John recovery on the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. And today still has to do with the radio telethon, because when Alex Cora appeared on the Nesson coverage on Thursday, he was wearing a Jerry Remy Fight Club t-shirt from Sully's brand here in Boston. And the shirt was actually made 2 years ago when Jerry Remy unfortunately announced he was going through cancer treatment 2 years ago, and Sully's brand decided to make these shirts, and everything they earned from the shirts went as a donation to the Jimmy Fund. So they've raised a lot of money for the Jimmy Fund just from these t-shirts, and they're an incredible small business. They make amazing t-shirts for Boston sports teams, and then they had the chance to give back to the community, and that's exactly what they did. And they get to do it again this year because when Cora was wearing that shirt, Sully's wrote on their website that they had sold out of the batch they made 2 years ago. So the good news is, even though they are sold out of shirts right now, they are doing pre-orders through Sunday. It says Jerry Remy Fight Club right on it. Just knowing that it goes to a good cause and the Jimmy Fund is near and dear to my heart. So it just goes to show too the influence that one t-shirt can have, because Alex Cora was supporting his friend Jerry Remy in his cancer battle right now. And in doing so, so many other people got to be involved with the Jimmy Fund and donate, whether they knew it or not. So kudos to Alex Cora, kudos to Sully's. It always makes me happy when money can go to a good cause. And like I said, who knew that Alex Cora just wearing a t-shirt on TV could do so much. And Chris Sale was actually wearing one Thursday during his post-game press conference. So these are things you love to see. But that will do it for today's show. Thank you so much for spending the week with me and kicking your weekend off with me talking some baseball. Like I said earlier in the show, it's my favorite part of the day. Please find me on Twitter at lalalalauren, three laws, Lauren with four R's, and the Locked On Red Sox Twitter account at @LO_Red Sox. DM us, at us. Tell us what you want to hear. Tell us what we can do better. We love the feedback. We love interacting with our listeners. And please rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. When you subscribe, you never miss an episode, and you can get your Red Sox fix every single morning when we release one. And don't forget to check out all the other amazing shows across the Locked On network. Locked On Yankees, Locked On A's. The Yankees were up 6-0 on the A's on Thursday, and then the last I checked, it was tied 6-6 at the time of this recording. So I'm sure Locked On A's and Locked On Yankees are going to have a lot to say no matter which way that game goes. And one more thing before I go, I just want to let you know that betting on MLB, the Red Sox, the A's, the Yankees, it doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll be back soon.